One of the topics I get asked a lot here in real life involves things like the Rake, the Wendigo, and other related legends. I can't honestly say that I know a lot about them, but based on some light reading I did, I can say that I've heard stories that seem to be loosely related to them. You've heard of the old adage and legends like that that come from somewhere, and I'm sure that it's true. But as you know, I do try to take things with a grain of salt. I have to, out here. It's sort of like working in a hospital, I'd imagine. You can spend all day thinking about how many people have died there, and how there are probably ghosts, or whatever you want to call them, all over the place. It doesn't do you any good, it just makes it harder to do your job. I think a lot of us feel that way. That's why we try to go about our work like everything's fine. Once you get paranoid, there's not really any going back. A lot of cadets quit because of it. My park especially seems to have a high turnover rate because the cadets graduate and get so freaked out about everything and they can't seem to let it go. They have to learn to internalize things, shut off. I've talked to KD a bit about her experience because I wanted to know what she thought about the Wendigo. She didn't really have anything in particular to say about it, aside that she didn't want to think about it that much. But she told me a friend of hers had something similar happen. I contacted that person, H, over Skype, and they agreed to talk to me a bit. They're aware of my work here. They're fine with me posting the story exactly as they wrote it. I grew up in Central Oregon. There's a reservation called Warm Springs about 2 or so hours from where I lived. I only mention that because a lot of people in my area have friends there, and a lot of the land in that area belonged to that tribe. When I was a kid, we used to go camping up there. Not on the res, of course, but in the area. And I met a lot of kids who grew up there. I got to know one kid really well. His name was Nolan. We ended up hanging out quite a bit when our families were in the area. Our folks got to know each other, so we'd all get in touch and camp out around the same time. We camped out for 2 weeks, so we were there for a long time. I asked him if he camped in an RV. Yeah, my dad had one, so I guess it wasn't really camping, but we'd take our tents and all that other stuff and set them up a ways away from the camp, at least for most nights. I didn't like sleeping in there because I like being outside, you know? We talked for a bit about camping. So anyway, sorry. One year, Nolan and I were out there, and I think we must have been like 12 or so. We wanted to go out and camp near the river because we wanted to try night fishing. I think we must have been about a third of a mile from the main camp, far enough away that we couldn't hear or see anyone else. I remember that. We were messing around most of the day, and I don't really remember much about it, but we ended up building a fire at some point, and I was really impressed because he had this flint, something, that he used to start it. I'd never seen anyone do that before, so I thought that it was pretty cool. I got him to teach me how to do it, and we lit some stuff on fire, which, looking back, was actually really stupid because it was the middle of the damn summer. And if I remember right, the fire warning was either at yellow or orange, but thankfully, we didn't start anything major. And when it got dark, we sat around and we talked about whatever it was that 12-year-olds talk about. I don't really remember. What I do remember is that at some point, he looked over my shoulder at the river, and he asked me if I could see something. The way our camp is set up, we were about 10 feet from the river, and we were at the widest point, so it was probably about 20 feet to the other bank. Now, it gets hot up there in the summer. The water's still cold, which is important. I looked over my shoulder, and I could see something wading into the river on the other side. From where we were, it looked like a deer, but we couldn't really tell because of the fire. I got up to look closer, and I saw a pair of antlers, so I guessed it was a buck. But I thought it was weird that it was wading into the water, and it was definitely heading for us. And I asked Nolan what he thought that we should do. He's looking at the fire with this weird expression. He tells me to sit down and shut up, so I do, because I'd never seen him act that way. He's whispering at me to ignore it and just keep talking like we were, but I couldn't think of anything to say. He was saying something about an episode of some show, but I could hear the deer coming through the water, so I wasn't really paying any attention, and I kept trying to see over his shoulder, but every time I did, he sort of hit me on the arm and made me look at him. I wasn't really scared, I remember. I was just sort of confused. Then I hear the deer come out of the water, and I could kind of make out what it looked like, and I realized it wasn't a deer because whatever it was walking on two legs. I started to get up. I was super freaked out, but Nolan just yanked me back down and talked louder about his television show, and I could tell he was just as scared as I was. Probably even more so. He leaned in and he poked the fire with a stick and he whispered that whatever I do, I can't speak to it. I could see it was coming closer and it stood right behind Nolan's back. I was about ready to pee my pants. And I think I'd probably have run if I'd been there alone, but I didn't want to leave Nolan, so I kept sitting really still and sneaking glances at it. See, it wasn't that tall. But the way it carried itself was just... it was wrong. Like, its center of balance was screwed up. I can't really describe it. But it was kind of like it kept shifting too far forward. It just stood there behind Nolan for a long time. And eventually, Nolan ran out of things to say. And we just kind of sat there for a second. The fire was making noise, but I thought I could hear this thing talking in a really low voice. I couldn't hear what it was saying, and I leaned forward a tiny little bit, and I actually did pee my pants when it leaned forward, too. I couldn't see its face, but I saw its eyes. They were cloudy and milky, and if you want to know what they look like, find that scene from Lord of the Rings where Frodo falls into the lake and all those dead people are floating around him. That's what those eyes look like, you know? So all I saw were these two white eyes floating above Nolan's head and the really vague shape of the antlers coming out of its head. I don't know what my face looked like, but at exactly the same time, Nolan and I fucking booked it out of there. We ran nonstop until we got back to main camp. My pants were soaked with pee, so I took them off as we were running and threw them into the bushes. We both stopped once we were in front of my dad's RV. We couldn't see anything chasing us, so we just stood there. We caught our breaths. I asked him what that thing was, but he said he didn't know. He said his grandpa had only warned him that if anything ever came up to him when we were out in the desert, he was never, ever supposed to talk to it or listen to anything it had to say. I wanted to know if he'd heard it too, and he said that the only thing he'd been able to understand was help you. I think we ended up sleeping in the RV with his parents, and the next night we went back out and we didn't see anything. That does remind me in a lot of ways of the Wendigo legend. There's a phrase used to describe it that I think fits perfectly, which is that the Wendigo is the spirit of the lonely places. I know sometimes when I'm out in the wilds, where I know there's no one around me for miles and miles, I get this weird kind of craving that I can't really explain. I don't know if it happens to anyone else, but it's the desire to consume. Not like I crave anything in particular, but more of this weird, distracting hunger that comes from every part of my gut. I also wanted to find out more about the Faceless Man if I was able, and I found a few similar things. I asked around my circle of friends, and one of them said when he was out doing repairs at a park in his area, he saw something kind of like that. We were having dinner in town, five of us including myself. This guy, he was repainting an information booth and heard a man ask him for directions to the nearest campsite. He didn't turn around because he was up a ladder, but he informed the man there weren't any campsites nearby, but that if he headed down the road about 4 miles, he'd find one in another park. He asked if he could be of any other help, but the man said no and thanked him. My friend said that he kept painting, but he was listening, and he never heard the man leave. The second he came up to me and talked to me, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, but I wasn't sure why. I had this really uneasy feeling about the whole thing, and I wanted to finish painting and get out of there. I figured maybe part of it was that I couldn't turn around to look at him, but something just fell off. It was always this weird smell floating around, even before the guy talked to me. Kind of like, I mean, old period blood. I looked around to see what was causing it, but I didn't find anything, so I waited for the guy to walk away. I didn't hear him leave, which made me think that he was just standing there, watching me. So I asked again if I could do anything for him. He didn't answer. I knew that he was there, though, because I hadn't heard him leave. So I did this awkward turn on the ladder to look down and see what he was doing. Now, I admit, it could have been my brain just fucking up, but I swear to you, Russ, for a split second when I turned around, that fucker didn't have a face. Like, he had no face. It was almost concave, like, totally smooth. And I just about had a fucking heart attack because I couldn't even wrap my brain around what I was seeing. I think I started to say something about it, but there was this kind of pop inside of my head, and suddenly he was just a normal-looking guy. Must have looked weird because he asked me if I was okay, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. He asked about the campsite again. I pointed him to where he has to go. He was like, no, I'm not from around here. Can you help me get there? Now this is when I know something's really up, because there's no way this guy got out here and didn't know where he was. And for that matter, there's no car around, so how'd he get here in the first place? Said I was sorry that I couldn't take him anywhere in a company vehicle. He was like, please? I really don't know where I am. Can you come with me and help me get there? So now I'm seriously weirded out, and I start wondering if this is some kind of ambush or whatever. I tell him I could call him a taxi to come out and take him where he wants to go. And I pull up my phone, and he's just, nope. And he walks away real quickly. But he doesn't walk out of the park. He just walks back into the fucking trees. And I got right in my fucking truck, and I started to get out of there. I mean, fuck the paint or whatever. I looked in the mirror to see where he was as I was leaving, and he was just standing right at the tree line again. I don't know how he got there so fast, but this time I know that fucker didn't have a face. He was just watching me leave. And right before I turned the corner, he took a big step back into the trees and kind of dissolved, I guess. Maybe it was just dark, so he blended in. But it felt more like he just melted away. Interestingly, right after this guy finished his story, someone else piped up with another one, but with a slightly different twist. You know, actually, I had something sort of weird like that happen a while back. I was out doing some trail scouting, and I was out in the middle of nowhere, figuring out where we were going to have this trail run through. I hadn't seen anyone else for probably maybe a good 2 hours, so I wasn't really paying attention to where I was going. I was just looking at the ground for the most part. Then out of nowhere, I crested this little hill and almost ran into this guy. He was older, probably in his 60s, and I started to apologize to him for running into him. Then I noticed his face, and I probably looked like a complete douchebag because I stopped and I just stared at him. It took me a second to figure out what was wrong, but this guy's face was, like, huge. I know this sounds weird, okay, but that's the only way I can describe it. His head wasn't big or anything. It was normal, but the amount of space his face took up was just, like, way too much. Like, if you took someone's face and you enlarged it all, but by about, like, 2 times. He doesn't say anything. He just kind of looks at me, and I back up. It was kind of like stuttering, saying I was sorry, and I went around him, and I fucking got out of that place and did what I needed to do. The whole time, I kept looking behind me because I was so freaked out. He'd just pop up behind me or something. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I swear to you, it was one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. I switched the topic to the stairs a little later. There was a defined shift in enthusiasm. No one spoke up at first. See, there's this real stigma about discussing them, even when we're away from work. But I broke the ice with a story of my own, and the guy who told the story about the faceless man told this one, albeit very quietly. Yeah, see, a couple years ago, I was camping with my girlfriend. We were out about 2 miles from the road at this site I know. We went to bed that night, but we couldn't sleep because someone interjected a funny comment. We were dangerously close to going off on another subject, but I got us back on track. Yeah, real funny, fucker. Alright, no. It was because we kept hearing that grinding noise. My brother used to grind his teeth in his sleep, and it kind of reminds us of that. My girlfriend was freaking out, but I just kept telling her, ignore it, because I've heard it before, and you have to ignore it. It goes away eventually, you know. You know what I mean? We all knew what he meant. So eventually, I got her to go to sleep, but I woke up probably 2 hours later because something was just You're off. I rolled over. She wasn't there. I kind of freaked out because he thought for a second and he took a long drink. Anyway, I ran out of the tent calling her name. But I didn't have to go far. She was standing at the edge of the camp looking at something in the trees. I could see she was really pale. Fire was low, but bright enough to see her. Anyway. So I ran up to see what was going on. She was dead asleep, but her eyes were open. She had this really spaced out look, you know? Like, I put my arm around her and let her back. But she wouldn't move. She just said really quietly something like, "I have to go, Eddie. I have to go. It's here." I was like, "You're sleepwalking. Come back to bed." She wouldn't budge. She just kept standing there, saying that she had to go. I looked where she was looking, and there was a fucking staircase right there, about 15 yards away. Gray one, concrete. She started to walk towards it, but I yanked her back, and that woke her up. She looked at me like I was fucking out of my mind. She said that, what the fuck was going on? What was she doing out of the tent? I didn't tell her anything. I just told her she was sleepwalking. The grinding was gone, so she went back to the tent with me. She fell asleep again. I don't know. I don't like thinking about it, you know. And we all know. You guys remember that kid with, I can't remember what it was. Some kind of brain fuck up. Not Downs, but something like that. Someone else brought up. Well, I got to read the report that he gave when they found him a week after he went missing. And he was fucked up beyond belief. I mean, you have to take it with a grain of salt, because who knows what the kid actually thinks is real. But some of this stuff, I don't think he could have made it up.
You know, like what?
Well, first of all, he talked about the stairs. He said he'd been watching his dad build a fire. The stairs came up to him. He had to go up them or something. Something bad would happen. The cops didn't really understand what he was talking about after that, because he kept saying, like the campfire over and over and over. He kept mentioning sounds. He couldn't say what sounds, just that it was loud and covered his ears, so he couldn't hear them. The thing I remember most is that they asked him where exactly he'd gone, and he just said that he was right there. He kept pointing at himself. They thought that he meant he'd never left. He said he wasn't scared because the stairs were there, and he said that they talked to him. But not like people talk. Like I said, it was really convoluted and hard to understand, and I have a feeling the cops didn't take most of it down. They ended up just saying that the kid had some kind of amnesia or fugue, and they didn't think foul play was involved. Doesn't really explain why he came back a week later, perfectly fine, without a speck of dirt on him, well fed. But hey, what the cop says goes. Things have deteriorated here to a degree that I didn't foresee. I didn't know how much writing about the things that have happened to me here would affect every single part of my life. And maybe that was stupid of me. Maybe I should have considered it more seriously, but honestly, I just thought that I was writing about things that a few people would want to hear. I didn't think it would get this much attention. People ask me about the stairs now. It doesn't happen every day, but when it does happen, I never really know what to say. My bosses know someone is talking about them, and I'm sure that if they know, the higher-ups know. I can tell you that they aren't happy about it. I've been formally told that I'm not to speak a word about them to anyone anymore, which is part of the reason that this has to be my final update. See, I can't risk my job for this. As much as it's been wonderful to get a lot of these things off my mind, I still do love my work. I need to be out here. If anything, my being aware of what's really going on is enough reason to stick it out. I may not be able to tell people that they're out there, but if I see them, I can direct traffic away to somewhere safer. Because of the amount of attention the stories have gotten, I've heard a lot of stories being swapped back and forth. I've heard so many, I can't even remember most of them. The ones I do remember are the ones that I wish I could forget. The stories that made the rounds here are about a young woman who disappeared upstate. Initially, everyone assumed that she was a runaway. She didn't come from a great home life, so it really doesn't any kind of surprise that she'd choose to cut and run. But people start coming forward saying that they'd seen her around the park shortly before she vanished, so some of the rangers in the area were setting out to make sure that she hadn't hung herself or something on any of the back trails. Now, it took them a while, but they did find her. Well, not all of her. Just half of her tongue and a quarter of the lower jaw. Very clean cuts from what I'd heard. They never found the rest of her. So many stories about children, so many of them going missing and turning up in caves, wedged in between impossibly tight spaces, so many of them found on mountain peaks or at the bottoms of sheer gullies. Missing shoes, missing socks. They're found with both in perfect condition despite them being miles and miles from where they'd vanished. So many stories of black-eyed people wandering around the woods, calling out in the night, mimicking the sounds of running water or of a bobcat screaming. One man in particular goes to every news station he thinks will listen to him and tells the same story. He was hunting deer and camped out in a very remote area. He woke up because something was scraping against his tent. He thought that it was a raccoon or a fox until the thing pressed its face against the door of the tent, at which point he could see very clearly that it had a human nose and mouth. He kicks at it, but it leaps back and is gone by the time that he opens the tent flap. Gun at his side, he fired two warning shots, and when the sound had faded, he heard a snap behind him, a man standing at the edge of the campsite. The man was not wearing any clothes, but he also didn't possess any kind of human flesh. As the hunter described it, the man was made of some kind of amalgamation of raw meat and hair, as if someone had scooped up roadkill and molded it into the vague shape of a man. The face was lumpy and only a rough approximation of human face. The thing opened its lopsided mouth, and from it came the sound of the gun the hunter had fired. It did this twice before mimicking the sound of the tent zipper and fleeing into the night. A young couple out for a hike on the rocky areas of my park reported to me yesterday they had seen something strange out on a peak, one that I'm very familiar with. They were taking turns looking through a pair of binoculars when the man noticed a hiker climbing up a very steep part of that cliff face. He watched the man scale the slope, and it didn't occur to him until the incident was over that this person had no climbing gear. When the climber reached the top of the peak, which was about 5 miles away, they turned and faced the young man. He said whoever or whatever this person was looking right at them. The climber waved in an exaggerated manner before snapping in half at the waist, sideways, and leaping off the peak. The man didn't see where the climber landed. I sent them on their way with assurances that I'd check it out. I lied. I wouldn't be turning in a report because there are 10 others exactly like it. The climber's well known in that area. I don't question it anymore. There's so many things I won't ever be able to understand about my job, and it would take me years to relate all the things that I've heard in the last few months. When I feel like my job isn't in jeopardy, I will come back. Maybe in a different format, but I will come back. Thank you all for sticking by my side and enjoying things I've talked about. If you go into the woods, I encourage you to be safe. Bring water, food, survival equipment. Let people know where you're going and when you'll be back. And don't go on uncharted paths unless you know exactly what you're doing. And above all, don't touch them. Don't look at them. Don't go up them.